private label, I think, is the one that's the most popular, that most everyone's doing. Most people who say they're selling on Amazon, that's what they're doing. Whether they know that that's what they're doing or not, that's what they're doing. I met a guy the other day, and he was explaining to me his business model, and I was like, that's called private label. He's like, no, it's not private label, and he kept going on and on. I'm like, no, that's private label. But he was adamant that's not what he was doing, but that's actually exactly what he was doing. So people have no idea what they're doing, but they're making money, so who cares?
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 99, with Amazon FBA veteran Tyler Philbrook.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey guys and gals, hope you're having an awesome week. Super excited to have you on with me today. And if you're new to the show, my name is JC Preston, founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people create their own personal freedom. In this podcast, which is released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. As I said, I'm super excited to have you guys on with me today. Today is kind of a tribute edition of the show. And you know, next week I'll be publishing session 100, and I wanted to make this one kind of a lead-in into that. And the way I thought I'd do that is by kind of paying homage to some of the folks who have inspired me to finally get my own show started, specifically Pat Flynn and the crew over at Fizzle with the Fizzle Show. And now if you've heard either one of those podcasts, you'll know that they're very different in their format, but pretty similar in what they're trying to help people do. With Pat's show, the SPI podcast, he tends to be more of an explorer of other entrepreneurs having success in their lives, while on the Fizzle show, Corbett, Chase, and Steph have conversations about particular subjects throughout the entire show. But it's more mental and mindset stuff than nuts, bolts, and interviews like Pat's show, because a lot of that information for the nuts, bolts, and how to, they leave it for the membership side of things. So, you know, when I first started my show, I wanted to combine elements from both of those shows along with some of the parts that I like from other podcasts in the niche. And with my show, my goal was to, and continues to be, a way to reach those that haven't quite determined that having their own business is right for them. You know, because frankly, this is something I struggled with for so long. You know, I always felt my calling was somewhere in academia. I always wanted to be a teacher. But then when I got into grad school, got into getting my master's, and I was looking at, you know, going into a PhD program, you know, I realized that it wasn't everything that I had imagined it would be at that point. And listening to these podcasts, specifically starting in 2010, started giving me the, you know, ideas of what I could do. But for me, you know, I rarely did take action. And as I look back now, they acted more as motivation back then, but not necessarily inspiration. And what finally got me inspired and over my mental hump was when I got my membership at Fizzle. And there were all kinds of, you know, people that were just like me that I felt like were classmates. And, you know, the reason for that is because back then Fizzle had this part where it would welcome new people into the fold based on when they joined. And I remember distinctively being a member of the March 2015 class, I guess you could say it that way, you know, and then trying to find all the other folks in that class and building relationships that I could. And long story short, some of those folks are still doing their work. You guys know who you are, because I know several of you listen to the show. And then others fizzled out. And then there's someone else that started about that same time was actually today's guest, Tyler Philbrick. And while I didn't meet Tyler through Fizzle, in fact, I only recently met him through Pat's Q&A show. Ask Pat when, you know, he started streaming it a few months back. I found out that Tyler has tried a ton of the business ideas that Pat has talked about on the SBI. And unlike me, until recently, he had a specific why to do so. You know, I only found that maybe in the last year or so, what my actual why is. And in a particular episode of Pat's show, specifically Session 99 with Cliff and Jessica LaRue, you know, we learned about what they call and what many in the business call now retail arbitrage, which I think it's kind of ironic that, you know, Tyler makes his appearance on Session 99 of AOL, just like Jessica and Cliff were talking about arbitrage back on Session 99 of SBI, but that's besides the point. Anyway, you know, I have to admit, this particular episode inspired Maria and I to experiment a bit. And, you know, we had a short stint with Amazon FBA when that podcast came out. And just like Tyler, you know, we learned a few things the hard way. But, you know, I didn't, in the long run, I didn't see the work as super fulfilling. And at the time, I was still full-time at AMS working on building a foundation of what that company is today. You know, and actually kind of a good news, we're really looking at a lot of licensees in the not-too-distant future. Like, holy crap, 2018 is going to be crazy. I mean, if you guys go to americamultisport.com and just look at our Viking roster for this upcoming year and all the places that we're going to be with that, that's like super exciting. But, you know, I was still in the nitty-gritty with that business back then. And I just didn't have the time to focus on that. And Maria, well, her career picked up and, you know, she eventually lost interest in the project as well. And, you know, and life just happens like that. But Tyler, on the other hand, you know, he stuck with it and due to his success has now stepped away from his 9-to-5 job to pursue other projects. And yeah, in today's chat, I get the chance to catch up with him just to few days after him leaving his pharmacist job and getting to know more about all of his success. So, you know, some of the things that we talk about include how he came upon SPI and the podcast and specifically how his background helped with him overcome obstacles until he succeeded, what some of his first items on Amazon were, what are some beginner mistakes he made, and then finally, we kind of go in a little bit about what it's like to finally leave that 9-to-5 job of his. But before we get all of that, I want to remind you guys about Read It For Me. And, you know, podcasts are great to listen to get a little nuggets of great information. But many times the guests and the hosts themselves lead out the biggest pieces for you to actually learn something in depth. And so you end up buying their book or their course or whatever with the intent of learning more. But if you're like me, those books especially just accumulate. And so you're left with, you know, maybe listening to audiobook versions, but you might miss out on key parts if you're not paying attention. So, you know, for me, that kind of got me to Read It For Me. And, you know, the thing about Read It For Me is that this is the number one book summary service for entrepreneurs, executives, and those that want to be one someday. And, you know, you hear about all these great books that are just being released all the time, but you find yourself without limited time to read them. This place is meant for you. I mean, this is how I read books right now. You know, having started as a way to build traffic, which is a service they still provide if you want, you know, use it for your own social media, it has grown to be a vast library of business and success book summaries. And, you know, these summaries are about 12 minutes long, available as video, audio, and text. And, you know, these things are so well put together that they could be used as part of presentations if you'd want to use them in that way in the future. Some of their customers include corporations like Zappos, American Express, BMO Bank, Cornell University, Global Enterprise Services, and many others. And if you're a coach or you have clients you want to build better relationships with, this is also a perfect tool to do just that as well. By going to newinceptions.com/readitforme, you can get your free membership today. And normally, you know, this is valued at $10 a month, but, You know, this membership provides you with text summaries daily so you can learn while you're on the go. And if that, you know, sounds like a great deal, it is, because how much would you have to pay someone to summarize your books daily? You know, all the books that you have to read, they're going to summarize them and give them to you daily. And, you know, that's $10 a day, maybe, while you'd be looking at $300 per month, and do the math there. And yeah, it's definitely not 10 bucks a month. So get started today again at newinceptions.com/readitforme. I'm sure you're going to love it as much as I do, and probably use it as much as I do as well. So that all said, let me know how you guys like the show in iTunes in the near future. I want this space right here in the podcast to be the space to recognize the fan of the week. And besides the fact that I want to recognize you guys for listening and being fans, I also want to help, you know, myself in making this show better and, you know, getting more people that you guys want, because now I have all access to lots of different kinds of guests, and I want to make sure that I'm bringing what you guys want. So also, if you're on an iPhone, leave a review there. Just click the review tab on your iPhone's podcast app and let us know what you like about the show. And if you're listening somewhere else, just, you know, just send us your thoughts at heyguys@newinceptions.com as well. That's the easiest way for those reviews to come in, but definitely prefer them on iTunes. Anyway, as usual, show notes and show note video extras can be found at newinceptions.com/99. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here with today's guest, which I'm really, really excited to introduce to you guys. You know, I think of myself as a TA of the online business world, and I've been around it for myself for about 8 years now. And during that time, I've seen a lot of stuff come and go. And I, you know, often, and even people come and go. Some will suddenly come to the forefront, be popular for a while, and then disappear. It's like aliens got them. But you know, I kick my own butt occasionally for not getting started sooner myself. And well, frankly, you know, I'm glad I finally did back in 2015. And as many of you guys know, Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income has been one of, if not the main guide for me learning about the online business world. And when I was still in my MLM and Amway days, he was the first one that I stumbled upon. And in fact, that was the app that I discovered him through all the way back in 2009. I know he's been that guide to so many others, including today's guest, Tyler Philbrook. Back in session 99 of the SBI podcast, Pat spoke with Jessica and Cliff LaRue about retail arbitrage. And if you're not familiar with what that is, it's basically when you buy things that are on sale in your day-to-day life, and then you sell them at a higher cost online. And many times, it comes out to be about the normal price, but a little bit higher for the convenience factor. And through Amazon FBA program or eBay, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues that you can go with where you actually sell it. But, you know, I would say that this is one of those business types that I would tell a starting entrepreneur to get their feet wet in initially. And it's simple enough that it's duplicatable, but if you still have to work at it. It's just like any other business. And I think that's why Gary Vee promotes it so much, just hustling and going to garage sales and selling things online. You really have to put in the work, but at least it's simple. Anyhow, Tyler has taken advantage of what he's learned from Jessica and Cliff, and in just this past week, he was able to walk away from his 9-to-5 day job, and knowing that this big day was going to be coming up for him, I knew that I wanted to get him on to talk about what he does in more detail and get the story of how it all came to happen. So, without further delay, Tyler, welcome to the show, and how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's great to be here.
Good to finally have you on, and I know we've been talking about getting you on, and I've been kind of counting down the days and seeing where you were, and, you know, it's just, you know, I just want to get you on while it's fresh, and so you can kind of give people a little bit more, like, this is what it feels like, and, you know, kind of holding that emotion so that people can, you know, look forward to it. But, you know, so let's kind of start from the beginning. You're in Florida, which is that where you're originally from?
I'm actually originally from a tiny, tiny town in northern Maine.
Oh, wow. That's a transition.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. You won't get any colder than there, and you won't get any hotter than here.
I just released Hector Santiesteban's interview this week, and he was talking about that he wants to travel when he gets his business going. And I specifically said, and he'd mentioned that he was like, well, I might be able to go to Florida or somewhere else where it's warm. And I'm like, well, Florida in the summer doesn't have the wind that California has.
No, it's hot. I got in my car the other day and it said it was 104 degrees outside.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, I don't recommend that.
Yeah, just
humidity of 150%, I think.
Yeah, it's insane. And let me tell you, I went to, for my honeymoon, and Maria and I went to San Juan in August. Mm-hmm. August. Oh, yeah. It makes me cringe even thinking about it now. But yeah. So what was life like growing up in Maine? I mean, were you like so many of us who were told to get good grades, go to school, get a good job sort of thing? Or?
Well, so growing up in Maine was different. So I was homeschooled most of my life.
Okay.
Then I ended up going back to public school in high school. Mm. Now, being homeschooled, it actually allowed me to really learn what it was like to start working. Mm. So my family owned a restaurant when I was really young. And so I started working at the family restaurant at about 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, we sold the restaurant, but I still wanted to work. So since I was homeschooled, it allowed me to, I didn't have to be at a place. I could do the schoolwork whatever time during the day. So I would get a paper route, and I did a paper route for years. From like 10 to 13, I did a paper route. I had to get up at 4 a.m. every morning, deliver papers. So being homeschooled allowed me to do that. And then when I went to public school, I had to get rid of the job. But I was still working for an elderly couple doing like handyman work around their house, even while I was in high school.
Mm. Mm. So did you ever go to school? Or?
Yeah, I graduated high school. That's about as far as I went.
Okay, gotcha. And how was that all working out for you?
Well, for a long time, a lot of people looked down on me because while I was working, I worked in the pharmacy for 11 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are doctors. They have the same degree that a medical doctor has.
Right.
And so constantly working with people that have that type of degree and me not even, you know, or just having a high school diploma, it was something that they really kind of looked down on me on. Mm-hmm. But because of the fact that I did it so long and I'd learned so much in my job, a lot of them near the end were actually calling me. And in fact, I haven't worked for a week and I received several phone calls asking for help, how to deal with things.
Yeah. My wife could totally relate. She was in school for 10 years, but didn't get a degree. So, but that's what being in the military will do to you. But
yeah.
Was starting your own thing something that you ever considered during those 11 years working in the pharmacy?
Not for most of it. Most of the time when I started, I was planning on moving up in the company and, you know, eventually becoming a manager and all that. And then I went into the pharmacy department and I discovered I didn't have to work nights or weekends anymore. Mm. And then they got, yeah, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Then they got rid of the position I wanted on the front end, and they actually made the pharmacy staff the highest paid position in the store, so there was no need for me to move anyway.
Right.
So I just stayed there. But then after probably 6 or 7 years, there was an instance in the company where I just discovered that there was no real security with it. Mm-hmm. And that they could let me go for any reason at any time, and they had tried. That's the reason that I knew that was the case. So I decided then that I needed to do something else. And for a long time, I thought that would be to get another job or maybe a second job. Mm. I had gotten a second job for probably 6 months before I proposed to my wife in order to pay for an engagement ring. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe that was the answer, but there was just no time, and I was too tired, and I just couldn't find a second job or even a different job. So then I started looking into ways to make money online, ways to make money from home, different things like that. And then eventually I fell into podcasts because my older brother listens to podcasts on like electronics. He doesn't really care about business. Mm-hmm. In fact, he even with me on here, he will not listen to this podcast, I'm sure. But he loves technology, and so he's always talking about these podcasts and podcasts. And he says, you know, there's some podcasts you might like, financial podcasts, business podcasts. And I'm like, no, I don't have time for that. So finally, he convinced me to look into it, and I found, and I can't remember the name of the podcast, but there was one on passive income. And I listened to a couple episodes of that, but I didn't really like the guy. I don't remember who he was, but it was just, it seemed like he was just talking about how awesome he was the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I started looking at different ones, and I liked the phrase passive income. So that's what I typed in. And then I came across Pat Flynn's podcast, Smart Passive Income.
Right.
And then I was hooked.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. It's, you know, it seems to me that anytime someone starts listening to Pat, just because he seems like the guy next door, that it's just so easy to kind of just start listening to him. But as a creative, or, you know, someone that has things to do, you can't listen to all of them, unfortunately. But, you know, blood of content. So session 99. So was that the first one that you listened to, or when did you actually get into the queue, so to speak?
Yeah, so it was June of 2015, June 9th of 2015. I can give you the exact day. And I was about to leave for work, and I was looking through the podcast, and that's when I came across Pat's podcast. Mm-hmm. And he had, at that time, I think it was like 170 episodes. And I had no idea where to start. Mm-hmm. So I looked on his website, and it had a little button that says start here. So I clicked on that, and it recommended three podcast episodes, which were like 11, 12, and 13. So I listened to those three, and they were all about different types of passive income. And it talked about online affiliate marketing, ads, freelancing, all those different things. And I loved what I heard so much that I went back to the very first episode and listened to them one at a time all the way to get caught up.
Yeah, yeah. You're one of those guys.
I listened to every single episode. I tried to do that with other podcasts, but it's just become too much to do that every podcast I come across.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I went all the way back, and the entire time I kept trying different things. So like in the initial podcast, he talked about like Info Barrel and writing articles for there. So I tried that. And then, you know, he talked about freelance writing, and I tried to get some clients, but I wasn't able to get clients and stuff like that back then. And so I just kept trying everything that kept coming up, and nothing seemed to be sticking.
Right.
And then episode 99 came, and they talked about the retail arbitrage and selling on Amazon. And one of the places that they said to go was to buy things in Walgreens.
Okay.
And I was like, well, shoot, I work at Walgreens. I can just look there while I'm working.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I walked out onto the sales floor one day on my break, and I started looking around at all the clearance things, and I found a whole bunch of things that I thought would sell on Amazon based off of what I heard in that podcast. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got started in the retail arbitrage, was finding out from that podcast episode, and then just walking out while I was at work and looking at the stuff we had in the store.
Wow. Wow. And so, I mean, growing up in like the restaurant biz, like working with your parents, did that have any influence in you allowing yourself to say, oh yeah, I can do something on the side of my day job? Because so many people just really even just struggle with that idea, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, actually, it goes back even further than my parents. My grandfather owned a town in Maine at one point, because he had grown so many different businesses in that town. He owned a grocery store, the restaurant, the gas station. He just owned everything in the town, and then my parents did the restaurant. So it was in my blood,
okay.
And I knew that it was possible. And even before I jumped in on the Amazon sales, which ultimately led to me being able to leave the 9-to-5 job, I talked many times to my father about it, because he's, you know, a businessman. And I talked to my grandmother, who was the accountant for my grandfather for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And they both talked to me about the pros and the cons. Also, fortunately, my in-laws, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, both own their own business. So I was able to talk to them too about what it was like to run a business, and so they've all been very supportive. with my idea of working for myself and entrepreneurship.
Right. Awesome. Well, see, you have the makings of what you needed. You just needed to find the thing to actually do it with. So that's awesome that you found something that matched. So here you were, you're in your break and you were checking out all the sales, because let's face it, Walgreens and CVS, we can, you know, now that you're not working for Walgreens, we can say both of them. Both have sales all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to ask you, I mean, so that first time you went in, what'd you get? What were your first items? Do you remember?
So I do remember, because I actually made some huge rookie mistakes the first time I did it.
Mm.
So the first time I did it, I bought these things that were on clearance. They were little model cars.
Okay.
And they were selling at Walgreens. I was buying them for $7 a piece.
Okay.
And some of them were selling for $75 to $100 on Amazon.
Interesting.
Which sounds like you're going to make a lot of money.
Right, right.
But the issue was that they had no sales rank, which we'll go into detail later about. But had they sold, yes, I would have made a lot of money, but they literally sat there for a year and I ended up having to bring those back. And I think I donated them to Goodwill eventually on those first ones because I just couldn't make any money off of them.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. Actually, the reason at first I thought that Amazon was going to be another one of those failed ventures.
Yeah.
But one, I was talking to someone at work about it and he was like, why don't you, buy these things called Funko Pops. He says, people are coming in all the time asking for them, which most people have never heard of. He says, we sell them here. We have exclusives and they sell for a lot more online. So I found this, exclusive Hobgoblin glow in the dark thing. That was a Funko Pop.
Uh-huh.
I bought it for $10 and sold it. I bought two of them and they both sold for $75 each.
Dang, what is a Funko Pop?
It's basically just a bobblehead.
Okay.
And I mean, it's literally of everything. So they've got Marvel ones. They've got Star Wars ones. They've got Stranger Things. They've got everything. Video game. I don't even know what they are anymore. I just look at the price. Like, I can tell what's going to sell and how much I'll make off of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't even look at what they are anymore, but some of them are pretty scary and ridiculous looking.
Wow. Wow. And then eventually you ventured off into other things. So let's kind of talk about how you've built it then. I mean, from that point, I mean, you've gotten to be more systematized, if not through actual systems, at least mentally, you know, you have a better idea of what you're doing. Kind of go into the nitty-gritty here and kind of maybe let's go a little deeper than, you know, Jessica did and Cliff did in their interview. First off, are you still doing just Amazon sales or are you on eBay as well? Because I know a lot of people do both. And for example, I'll order something on eBay and it'll go through Amazon or vice versa. And it's just like, what's your sourcing system look like these days?
So let's start. I still currently only sell on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I do the Amazon FBA.
Okay.
So fulfilled by Amazon. So what that means is that my house doesn't become a warehouse. So I buy everything still, and I'll go into how I do that and where I go for that in a minute. But I buy everything. I then set up the package and I ship it to Amazon. And then when a customer buys it, Amazon fulfills that order. They send it to the customer. If there's any customer service issues, like for instance, if an item doesn't arrive or it arrives broken because of the packaging, Amazon pays for that because they're the ones fulfilling it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry about that. Now, I do have to pay Amazon additional fees because of that, but that's factored into the price of the item when I buy the item.
Right.
So I know what those fees will be ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So currently I'm still selling only on Amazon, but now that I've got more free time, I will be looking into eBay and how to sell on eBay, because there's a lot of items that Amazon has really cracked down. There's been a lot of people trying what they say they are on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of things that are restricted that I know on Amazon, but I'm finding really great prices to buy them at in different places. And I can sell them on eBay for, if not the same price, just a little bit less and still make a good profit on.
Right.
So that's my next project to attack, is to look on exactly how to sell on eBay.
Gotcha. And So how do you determine, let's kind of go back a step. How do you determine what to specifically source? Because I remember from their interview that there was a few apps that they had to use. Mm-hmm. Are those still the apps to use, or are there better things out there these days?
Well, those are good apps. The issue with those apps is they all cost money.
Mm.
Some of them, and I don't even remember if they mentioned that on that episode, but their main one that they use costs about $150 a year to use.
Oh, wow.
Which, if you're making enough money, doesn't matter. When you're starting off, you want to make sure you're using the free app. So Amazon actually has their own app that's free if you're a seller.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I do all of my sourcing currently. Like, I haven't gone into the other apps, because that app gives you all of the information, and it's directly from Amazon. So the other apps, they kind of like tie into Amazon, and they do give you additional information. Like, for instance, they go to a website called Camel,
mm-hmm.
which, why it's named that, I don't know. But that gives us all of the information, for instance, the sales rank of what the item has been, not just now, but for the last year, as well as what the price has done for the last year. Now, why that's important is, a lot of times you'll find an item and say it's selling for $50 right now, and it's a dollar in the store that you're going to buy it for. Well, that's really good profit. But then you look at the sales rank, you see that in the last 2 weeks, the sales rank has gone up, which means no one's buying it. And in that same time frame, the price has gone from $5 to $50. So that price went up. So now no one's buying it. The rank is getting bad. So there's no point in buying something like that, because the price is going to go back down to $5 before the sales rank does it. Then you're not going to make any money after fees and everything.
Wow.
So you want to use sites like Camel to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that app, the Amazon seller app, when you're using that, you simply scan an item and it gives you all the information. Now, you can scan the barcode, which is usually the easiest way.
Mm-hmm.
But some stores, Target specifically, they will cover the UPC and make it more difficult. Sometimes you can peel the cover off. Other times you can see the number and you can type the number in. But the Amazon seller app recently allowed it so that it can actually scan the box and look it up that way. So you can just literally put the phone, the camera on the item, and it will scan what it looks like and look up the item on Amazon that way.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty advanced to help you out find exactly what you're looking at.
Is Target your favorite place to go to, or are you like one of those people that go to like flea markets or what? What?
I haven't gone to flea markets, so my favorite places are probably Target, Best Buy, and it has nothing to do with me working there, but Walgreens is really good too.
Okay, good deal.
So those are my three favorites, I would say, when I'm doing retail arbitrage.
And how much would you say that you spend in a given, like time-wise and monetarily in a buying time?
Okay. So it varies. Sometimes you can have a day, like for instance, it was a couple days ago. I went to one Target. I was in there for about an hour and a half, and I spent $300 on inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few days later, I drove around and I spent 4 hours. I went to three Targets and I spent $60 on inventory, because that's all I could find at the time.
Right.
So it depends on the day. Sometimes you just get really lucky and you find a lot of really good things quick. Other days you just have bad days. So just like any job that has good days and bad days, this will have good days and bad days.
Right. Well, I mean, again, it sounds like you definitely have a system by now, and that's good to know. What are some, now that we kind of hit some things at the higher level, kind of completing what they were talking about, let's just say that, you know, maybe I'm a new person to all of this Amazon FBA retail arbitrage sort of stuff, and I don't know who Pat is, and this is really the first time I've heard someone talking about what it is that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting started, just give me a few handful of things that we haven't talked about to get people going.
Okay. Well, number one, it's not going to be a quick turnaround. So I know people that have come to me and said, hey, I need to have money by Friday. Can I do what you do to make that money? And the issue is that in shipping everything, if I buy something in a store, I don't anticipate receiving the money back from that for at least a month. Because you've got shipping it to Amazon, you've got to wait for someone to buy it, then you've got to wait for the next payment because you only get paid out every 2 weeks from Amazon. So if you need money this week, it's not a good thing to do. So that would be my first thing is it is a thing. If you need money next month, it'll be fine, but not if you need it right away. The second thing is while you're shopping, the most important thing next to price and if you're going to make money is the sales rank. And that's where I made my mistake in the those model trucks and cars was because though the price was right and I would have made money had they sold, they were ranked in the millions.
Mm.
And you want to buy... Go ahead.
Well, and you can find that information on the free Amazon app you were talking about, right?
On the free Amazon app, it pops up and it actually tells you what the sales rank is currently.
Okay, awesome.
So as soon as you scan something, it tells you what the sales rank is. So depending on the category you want... I mean, you obviously want the lowest rank possible, but... For instance, books, they say anything under 500,000 is a good rank to buy and sell if you're going to sell a book.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas toys, you want something under 150,000. Typically, really any category, 150,000 or lower is a good sales rank. So if you find something in that range, then that's a good buy.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where the profit is so good and the rank is like 250,000. That I'll buy it because I know that even though it'll take me an extra, you know, couple weeks to sell it, at least I'll make even more money when it does sell because the profit's so high.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, and I've kind of actually failed to say that when, you know, after 99, Maria and I actually tried a lot of this stuff ourselves. And what you're saying here and both the ranking and, just the turnaround, it's totally true. Because, I mean, it seems like it takes just even a week just to get the items placed online correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not going to be right away by any means. But recommendation, don't go with tape. tape was something we ended up having to eventually get back from Amazon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, believe it or not. But, yeah, so now that we're, you know, kind of, again, you have gotten rid of your 9-to-5, for one, and we haven't even really covered that. I mean, how is that feeling for you?
It's exciting and terrifying all at the same time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've been running this business for a while. But it's always been a hobby, like something I did on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's what's got to have to pay the rent, you know, and pay the bills. So even though I'm confident that I can do it, it is a little scary, mm-hmm. you know, to do it at the same time. But it's exciting because I'm the master of my time now. It's amazing. One of the things that I've really looked forward to is being able to just like take a day off if I wanted to. So I was technically supposed to get done 2 days ago, but when I got back from a vacation I was on, they told me that they didn't need me the last 3 days that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up leaving early, and instead of starting the next day and working really hard, I decided just to take the day off. So I just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And the ability to do that is awesome. Now, it can be a little scary because if you get too comfortable doing that, then the business isn't going to run. Then you're going to have to go back to your 9-to-5.
Yeah. But I think that when you get to a point like you have, and even myself, I mean, you just kind of feel your gear starting to like, okay, I feel like I got to be doing something sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, it's once you get into the mode, I mean, it's, you can take that time off, which, you know, I'm going to be doing we're recording this right before the 4th of July weekend, four whole days. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do with myself. I'm probably going to be working Monday like I normally do. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that it, yeah. However you get to this point of being able to command your own time, totally worth it, regardless of, you know, are you doing meaningful work to yourself? It's debatable, but I think that, you know, in your situation, what Mike Rowe says is that, you know, do the work and the passion will find you, sort of thing, you know, because what you're going to be able to do, it got you free, but now you're going to be able to help other people do the same thing, you know? So good deal. So as we're going into the future here, you're talking about going on to eBay. But I mean, what do you think is next? I mean, I think we were talking about maybe going into private label. Have you considered drop shipping?
Yeah, I've looked at drop shipping. I don't like the concept of drop shipping for me. I mean, it seems easy enough, I guess, but I don't really want to do it. But private label is definitely something I've looked into. I actually have something in mind of what I could do private label. Mm-hmm. I have read quite a few things on how to start private label. There's even a course, which I can't remember the name of or even where it is right now. It's in my email somewhere.
Hope it's still there.
I would love to. Well, I haven't bought it yet. I just have the opening thing.
Yeah.
That I want to get into that teaches how to do private label. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about that is that you can, order, 1,000 things. Right now, I'm happy if I buy 5 of the same thing. So there you'd be buying a 1,000 or more of them. The other thing that I want to get into is wholesale. So actually working with the manufacturer that's already something that's already popular, that's already selling, and just working with them to get a discount so that I can sell it and make a profit on Amazon. Because there's quite a few people. There's one person that I know in a Facebook group that they were able to go from basically doing what I was doing at the beginning to 6 months later doing $10,000 of sales a month by doing wholesale.
What's the difference between that and drop shipping, just so folks can know?
So drop shipping is kind of like you are the middleman, from what I've gathered. So someone wants to buy something, you're the one that sells it to them, but you don't actually own the product. Once someone buys it from you, you then buy the product from your wholesaler and then ship it to them.
Okay.
So rather than owning the product, you buy the product once someone buys it from you.
Got it.
It minimizes the risk.
Okay.
Really.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, it's been a couple of years since I've been paying attention to online retail. What is warehouse the main thing, or is wholesaling? Is wholesaling the hot thing out there right now, or is there anything that's coming onto the market that is, you know, something else that you might consider getting into, or what's hot right now?
Right now it's keeping up with trends, but wholesale private label, I think, is the one that's the most popular.
Okay.
That most everyone's doing. Most people who say they're selling on Amazon, that's what they're doing. Whether they know that that's what they're doing or not, that's what they're doing. I met a guy the other day and he was explaining to me his business model. And I was like, that's called private label. He's like, no, it's not private label. And he kept going on and on. I'm like, no, that's private label. But he was adamant that's not what he was doing, but that's actually exactly what he was doing. So people have no idea what they're doing, but they're making money. So who cares?
Awesome.
Awesome. They call it.
Well, and if you get into that, I definitely want to get you back to kind of explain how to do Alibaba stuff, because that was what I was kind of starting to have an interest in. But then I started realizing how high of a, it just seemed kind of difficult to interact with the numbers / you know, the communication. And it's just like, and then China went on this like crazy New Year's like week or 2 weeks of no one doing anything or something like that. And it's just like, okay, I got other things to do. And I just kind of lost interest. So as you go down that path, I definitely want to know more.
Yeah, no problem. The other thing that I've been doing, not the entire time I've been doing retail arbitrage, but is online arbitrage. Mm-hmm. where the profit is less, but you can get a lot more items.
Mm. Okay.
So, for instance, if you're at a store, they may only have one of an item.
Right.
But if you're buying off of a website, usually they have, you know, a couple hundred. Mm-hmm. So you can buy 10 of them, no problem. So that's another thing that I've been able to do. Like, instead of getting ROI of like 100%, I'm getting like 50%, but it's still a decent amount of money.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And so would you pull a lot of that stuff off of like, then you would pull that off of eBay and turn around and set it on Amazon? Is that what you're...
There is some stuff that you can buy on eBay and then sell on Amazon. My favorite thing I've done so far, there's quite a few different websites that I do, but my favorite one was one of the Woot deals.
Okay, yeah.
And the reason that was my favorite was not the amount of money I made, which was decent, but it was because it was actually fulfilled by Amazon. It was an item Amazon itself was selling at a huge discount. I bought it. Amazon shipped it to me. I then repackaged it and sent it back to Amazon and sold it for almost twice what I paid for it from Amazon.
That is amazing. That is so cool.
That was my favorite so far.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So that's Woot.com if people don't know about Woot, which I find hard to believe. I mean, based on how they've just expanded like crazy over the last couple of years. But
Well, my father had no idea what it was the other day. He called me up and asked me if it was a legitimate site.
Really?
Yeah. And then he proceeded to text me every 10 minutes for the next 2 days asking, how do you order from Woot? Do you order more than one thing? Do you get more people to order with you to drop the price? So
that's awesome.
Yeah, this was just a couple days ago. So.
Wow. That's hilarious. Cool. Well, hey, rapid fire question segment starting now. Are you ready, sir?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. What are your three top favorite books that you tell others about?
Rich Dad Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And I usually tell them that it doesn't actually give you anything to do, but it encourages you to do things.
Okay. Yep. Fair. Very fair.
Yeah. Will It Fly? Pat Flynn. I got to have Pat on here.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Then Lewis Howes' School of Greatness.
Really? Okay. Why that book?
That book really changed my life completely.
Okay.
I like the business stuff it talks about in there. Mm-hmm. I like how it talks about having a team, but the one chapter that really got me was the importance of your health.
Mm.
I wasn't a healthy person. In fact, the doctor at 18 was telling me that I, you know, needed to be on some heavy medications and all this stuff because my health was so bad. But because of, and this was years later when I finally read that book, because of that book, it gave me the motivation to actually get in better shape and actually take care of myself and watch what I'm eating and actually exercise, because then I can run a business. So part of the difficulty of running a business while you're also working a 9-to-5 is how tired you get. But if you take care of your health, then you're going to be less tired. It sounds wrong because you're going to make sure to spend more time working out, which should make you more tired, but you actually have a lot more energy. So that book and its chapter on making sure that you take care of your health really changed my business.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, one of the co-hosts who, Layla, is really big into fitness, and she's actually been in China for a couple of weeks. She hasn't been on the show, but that's definitely one of the reasons I have her on, is because of how much of a difference that being fit was able to help her out and in her professional life, for sure. So,
yeah,
good deal. What's a tool that you use all the time that helps you do what you do that a beginner should know about?
Well, something that helps me do, you've got the Amazon seller app that helps me run the Amazon business, but the GoDaddy bookkeeping is something that I it does cost money. It's $100 a year, but it keeps track of everything for me. It keeps track of mileage for me. It keeps track of my expenses. So every time I buy an item, I have to keep track of that for tax purposes. And the first year I did this, it was an absolute nightmare in sending receipts and having receipts. But with that one app, that one tool, it keeps everything in one place for me. And at the end of the year, I just hit a download button and I send it to my tax guy. And that has just saved me hours and hours of time. And not only that, it quickly tells me how much profit I've made. So you pull the app up and it breaks down everything right away, mm-hmm. which not only encourages you to do more, but it actually made it easier on my wife, who has no idea how to run a business or what's involved. And so she didn't understand how I was making money. Mm-hmm. And until we got that app where it says your profit thus far is this much, she didn't actually think I was making any money.
Uh-huh.
So that one tool is very important.
Cool. And that's called, what was it called again?
It's GoDaddy Bookkeeping. It's
really?
You just go on GoDaddy and you pay for it there. It's got an app that goes right on your phone that you can put the expenses and everything in.
Oh, wow. Had not ever heard of that one before. That's cool.
And the cool thing for an Amazon seller is it ties right into Amazon. So it pulls all the expenses and everything from Amazon right into the bookkeeping software.
Wow. Oh, cool. Cool. What is the hardest thing that you've ever had to say no to?
Well, right now I'm going through something. So there's a conference coming up that I very much want to go to. It's important for my business. It's also kind of like a mini vacation for me. Mm-hmm. But there's some personal thing that I just found out last night is going to be the same weekend. Mm. So I have to say no to one of them, and I don't want to say no to either of them. So I would say right now that's the current most difficult thing I'm going to have to say no to.
Wow. And that does tend to come. I'm glad you bring that up, because that happens a lot as a business owner. Is do you continue working on the thing that, you know, gives you the fruits of your labor, so to speak, or do you take the time off for personal things? And
yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a something you have to think about. And back when I was in the Amway days, they'd always talk about the fact, well, kids are gonna have more birthdays, especially if they're not your kids. It's like, you know, you don't have to make all of your nephews' birthdays all the time, especially if there are those business changing conventions / conferences to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that decision, man.
Yeah, thanks.
What is one thing that you believe all high school students must know?
Ooh, there's a lot of things I believe all high school students should know.
Give me three. How about that?
Give you three. Okay. I would say number one, credit card is not cash.
Mm.
I learned that very much the hard way.
Right.
Credit card is not cash.
But you need credit. I'll say it that way.
I agree with that. But pay it off.
Yes.
Pay it off. If you're going to, I have no problem with people having a credit card. I still have a credit card. But you pay it off. Don't look at it as cash, and never look at it as if, well, I'm going to pay this money right now and I get paid in 2 weeks and it'll cover it, because you don't know what's going to happen in those 2 weeks. So have the cash on hand.
And one of the things that I do is that the only credit card that I have, I put all my business expenditures on it. So therefore,
yeah.
my statement is essentially the thing that I turn into my tax person.
Yeah, that does help. Credit cards definitely help in that aspect. They keep track of everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, be very careful if you get one.
Yeah.
Let's see, another thing to tell a high school student, grades are important, even if you don't think they are, but they're not everything.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you're enjoying life. Don't work too hard. I've, as we talked about, I've been working since I was 9 years old, and my last few years of high school, I worked every single day and didn't really get to enjoy anything. I was at school or I was at work. So though those things are important, make sure you get good grades. And I do encourage all high school students to work while they're in high school, but not every day.
Mm.
So don't allow other things to take place. Enjoy being a teenager. Number three, extra education, university education, college education. It's important if you know what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it can be a hindrance if what you're going to do has nothing to do with where you're going, and it can just add additional problems.
Mm-hmm. And additional debt. Yeah.
The student debt that you get, my wife, she has, you know, a few thousand dollars in student loan debt from the school, and she doesn't work in any field. She's a waitress. She doesn't work in a field that has anything to do with what she went to school for.
Yeah. Wow.
She makes good money and she likes her job, but it has nothing to do with that. And we could have saved ourselves, you know, several thousand dollars. Like, I think it's probably $10,000 by not going to school. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's really important that, you know, and you had that, you know, the background of being homeschooled, but I think that they're definitely, especially as expensive as college is these days, or university, if you're on the other side of the ocean, either way, direction, that you need to take that year off to, you know, kind of experiment with what you're interested in if you haven't had the opportunity to do that.
And you know, college is important if you want to do something like be a pharmacist, be a doctor, be an engineer. So it's not as if I think you should avoid it, but just make sure it's something you're actually going to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Or in my case, you can feel like you're going to be an electrical engineer for a good part of your life. Go. And then through a matter of a couple of internships, you realize that you hated it. Yeah. And that happens too.
That could happen. Yeah. Well, that's what everyone told me all the time. They're like, why don't you go to pharmacy school, become a pharmacist? And I do, because I hate this place. Why would I want to guarantee I have to work here longer?
Yeah. So definitely, again, try to get that little year of experience or maybe a couple so that you have some time. Don't feel that you have to be in a rush to get through schools because that's what all your peers are doing. And yes, I understand it's easy for me to say because I'm older now, but hey, I was in school for 9.5 years. If anybody should know, me, right? Yeah. So
And hey, the college will take your money no matter how old you are.
Exactly. So that's very true. That. Very true. Last question. What's the secret to achieving personal freedom?
Know what you want. A lot of people work hard and they strive to get to the bottom of things. They strive to make money, but they have no idea what they want. They think that money will bring happiness. They think that owning a business will bring happiness. They think education will bring happiness, but they have no idea what they want. So if you know what you want, then you figure out how to get there. So for instance, for me, I knew I didn't want to be at the 9-to-5 anymore, but instead of just continuously, you know, striving to find another way, I looked at avenues, what I could do to get out of that. But step one is to find out what you want and know what you want, and then figure out how to accomplish that.
And if someone knows what they want, what is the next step after that?
Well, once you know what you want, you need to figure out the scenario of how to accomplish it. So for instance, if you want to not own a house, and you want to travel all the time, you have to figure out how that's possible. So that is going to take money. But if you want to travel all the time, you can't have a job that makes you stay in one place. You're going to need a job that you can work from anywhere. So then you're going to have to figure out, okay, do I want to work for a company that lets me work anywhere? Do I want to run a business that lets me work from anywhere? Or what do I want to do? So once you figure out what it is you want to do, figure out the ways to accomplish it and what works best for you.
And try to block it out into mini blocks of, or mini goals or checkpoints.
Little tiny baby steps.
Right.
Yeah. Because two years ago when I started trying all these different business ventures, I had hoped it would take me 6 months to leave. Mm-hmm. And I followed the baby steps and it took me 2 years. So, not to be discouraging, but it could take longer than you anticipate.
Oh, yeah. 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 It was only, again, I just released Hector's interview, and the bass in my voice finally was to the point where I was happy about it. And it just was like, you know, as long as I took Pat's advice or whoever I heard that said that your first 100 podcasts are all practice anyway, then, you know.
That's true.
You know, so. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to get to where you're looking for. So, all right, man. Well, Tyler, if people want some help with their FBA or Amazon FBA adventures, or just want to know more about how you were able to do things, what are the best ways of getting in contact with you?
Well, easiest way would be my website, iamthefutureme.com. I kind of document my entire journey from being in a ton of credit card debt and not having enough money to growing these different businesses. Because I don't just do Amazon, I do several other things as well. And I talk about each of them on the website and talk about how I make the money from them. And I also offer coaching on there. So you can, even if you want to reach out to me on that to get some coaching, I can do that. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/TJPhilbrook. You'll find me on there and ask any question. I'm usually pretty quick about getting back.
All right. Well, Tyler, definitely, I appreciate you coming on, man. A lot of good nuggets here for people that are wanting to get started again in retail arbitrage and maybe even online arbitrage. And yeah, definitely appreciate you. I already said that. So thanks. Thanks for getting on here.
Hey. thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
You too.
And there you go, folks. Talk about a very informational chat. Lots of value in that discussion with Tyler. You know, and he's a great example of just putting your head down and getting the work done. You know, he's totally on a path that so many people would like to be on themselves these days. And, you know, just very inspirational. If you like what you heard today, let us hear why you liked it in the show notes via newinceptions.com/99. And be sure to check out the extras while you're in there. In the extras in this particular session, I wanted to drop in some material from some folks that we talked about today. So in the first video comes from Pat Flynn during one of his first Ask Pat Live sessions. You know, he now does these in his new studio, but I wanted to capture his humble beginnings when he kicked off the show and what it's all about. You know, he started in his famous in-home office. The second video comes from Jessica and Cliff themselves via Rob Anderson over at Dollar Moves on YouTube. And if you want to know more about this couple and all they've done and been through outside of SBI 99, great interview to check out. Rob's channel was one that you should definitely check out if you want to know more about retail and online arbitrage and as well as FBA in general. And next up after that, wanted to give you guys something from Fizzle. This time, Chase is talking about what it takes to succeed as a newbie. And something that I think, you know, a lot of us should be able to relate to, because I definitely felt that way when I first started New Inceptions. And finally, since we did refer to Gary a little bit in this session as well, I thought I'd drop in a bit of the Daily V. And in this one, he talks about what the Gary V school would be like if he started one and how retail and online arbitrage would play into that plan of his. So that pretty much wraps things up today. Thanks again for joining us. Hope it inspires you guys to take a little bit more action. Again, let us know how you like the show. And reviews on iTunes are always great. If you're using the podcast app on your iPhone, like many of you are, you can simply hit the reviews tab and add your own review there. Or if you're listening to us anywhere else, shoot us your review via heyguys@newinceptions.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say and how to improve the show even more. Don't forget, if you want to get connected with Tyler directly, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. Go to it directly by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And in next week's show, again, which is session 100, the big 100, I'm going to leave it a big question mark on what's going on. I've gotten a few ideas of what you guys want it to be, and I think I have a good one in mind. We'll see if it pans out, but let's just say that a review of where we've come with New Inceptions and the show is definitely going to be part of it. As usual, to make sure you're informed when that session is published, all you have to do is like the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. So again, guys, that's it for session 99. If you haven't done so already, go check out Read It For Me at newinceptions.com/readitforme. And so that said, I appreciate you guys for joining Tyler and myself in this session. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. We'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.